Talk about, John was talking about long-winded preachers. I think he found it. We found him. Yeah, it's okay. It's okay. He's a long-winded one too, so. All right. Well, praise the Lord. I deal with him all the time anyway, so he does the same thing for me in Poland. I'm used to it by now. Him and Brent love to take my time. They go on. Brent goes hour and a half. Oh, I'm sorry. Did I do that? Yeah, you sure did. Thank you very much. All right. I would like to read from two passages today. Psalms 90. Psalms 90. And at the same time, I'll also open up your Bibles to Romans chapter 13. So I have two passages I would like you to look at this evening. I will try to be quick. And failed. Yeah. Psalms 90, we'll start from verse 1. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Thou turnest man to destruction and sayest, return ye children of men, for 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past. And as a watch in the night, thou carriest them away as with the flood, they are as asleep. In the morning they are like grass which groweth up. In the morning it flourisheth and groweth up, in the evening it is cut down and withereth. For we are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath are we troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 80 years, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. And in Romans 13, verse 11, and that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. Now my message is a little bit concerning what my dad just got up here speaking, but he missed some points I think we need to touch on. I believe that the times that we are in right now are very, very difficult. Not unusual in the sense of the past, but I think for our times it is coming to a point where the times are getting to a point where we need to step up. We need to start doing something. And I was wondering and thinking about time. How important is your time? You see, many people think and they consider their time precious, but they can sure waste other people's time. Not a problem. People can stand in line and waste other people's time, and when your time, you want to get done, but they're just fooling around. You know, people always are fighting with time, aren't we? Every day is fighting with time. What time to wake up? What time to go home? What time do I need to go do this? What time need to go do that? You know, we don't have time for a good night's rest. We don't have time for breakfast. We don't have time for family. We don't have time for spend some time with our spouses. We just don't have time, and we're always saying, I don't have time. And the time is short. And I want to just think about it real quick. Let's put that time into perspective for us and think about it. Something that I'm not quite sure we don't really think about on a daily basis. Just 1 hour. How important is 1 hour? 1 hour of your time given to God on the streets. How important is that 1 hour? Man, that's 1 hour of your time given to doing something for God. Just ask that man that businessman who just missed his plane to make a $1 million deal because the plane was delayed 1 hour. You know, it's just that 1 hour, if I just had that back. And that time, that 1 hour that you wasted for doing whatever it was, is gone. It's gone. That 1 hour. 1 minute. Let's just say 1 minute in prayer. How important is 1 minute? Just ask a man who had a heart attack in a restaurant, and there was an EMT guy sitting right next to him and saved his life because he was there in less than a minute and was able to save him. 1 minute. 1 minute is really important. Maybe that 1 minute of your prayer, of just sitting while driving or going somewhere, doing something, you say, Lord, bless that person. 1 minute. It's not much. But yet we don't do it. We just think our time is more precious concentrated on something else, something different. 1 second. How important is 1 second? Just ask the man who was driving and barely swerved at the last second to miss an oncoming head collision. Just a second. You know, time is just really, really flying fast. Seconds and seconds into minutes and minutes into hours and hours into months and years and weeks and just going on and on. And 10 years later, I've been married for 10 years already, and I thought I just got married yesterday. My son will be is 9, and in 10 years he'll be 19, and that just blows my mind. Man, think about it. Time. How little we have of it. It is so fast. But time is a natural resource. It's natural. It comes on every day. It comes and it goes. But like other resources, it can't be harvested. You can't bottle it up and save it for a rainy day. You use it as you got it. You use your strength as you got it. And you cannot say, well, you know what? I'll do this when I get a little bit better in that. I'm going to start serving the Lord when I get a little more knowledge of something else. Or I'll serve the Lord when I finally feel like I can be a missionary. Man, let's just not waste time. Time is short. It's short. It really is. You can't slow it down. You can't put it in the bank. You can't do what you want to do with it. You got to use it as God gives it to you. It's a blessing. It's a gift. Somebody, I think I got this from some movie. That's what it's called, the present. Because it's a gift. It's the present. It's something that God gives you now. And it gives you for you to use at whatever, however you feel like doing. He doesn't really, really push it, does he? God really doesn't push it. He just lets you do it. But you know what? It's our obligation to awake out of sleep. It's our obligation to realize we need to use our time wisely. Not using it for useless and unfruitful things of this world. Verse 12 that we have in Psalms 90 verse 12 says, teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Teach us to number our days. If you would just think about the end time when you might die, or even think about it that you could die tomorrow or the next, wouldn't that kind of push you into doing a little bit more today? Problem is especially for us young people, when you're obviously a younger man, death is the farthest thing we think about. We don't think about death. Just look at those guys who drive their fancy cars, driving on the highway. They don't care about laws of gravity. They don't care about speed, you know, 80, 90 miles an hour going into a brick wall. Man, that for them, all right, I'll go right through it. They don't realize how precious our days are, and we need to use them wisely. Time is short. For that reason, we ought to number our days. You know what? It says teach us. You know why it says teach? Because it's something that doesn't come naturally. We need to learn it like we need to learn math. Like we need to learn it like we need to go to school and just learn things. It's not nice. It's not fun. It just needs to be learned. Teach us to number our days. We need to be taught sometimes as little kids, sit down, think about your future. What are you leaving? Like Dad said, what are you leaving for heritage? What are you leaving? My grandfather left a great heritage that is still affecting up to my kids. My grandfather, and the day that he died at his funeral, you could see the heritage. You could see the people who were touched because he numbered his days. He knew he wanted to touch people's lives.
And that came down to me. That burden, I would talk, sit and talk to him. That came down onto my shoulders. And he said, you know what, Josh? I love to see the faces of people when they come in and they hear the gospel. That was just something I just love to hear. And anybody who's ever preached the gospel, there's nothing better to see when a soul gets saved. Nothing better. When I was dealing with Martin, that man that John was speaking about today, Martin, it was just the most incredible thing in the world. I really did hardly anything. None of my wisdom or anything else. I just walked into his office the day he became a director of my school. I sat down with him and we just started talking. For 45 minutes, we just talked. And he was just asked questions after questions and good questions, man. I was like, yeah, this guy is right on fire, man. This guy knows what he's asking. He's close. And then one day, that same evening, he said, and I think that was either Saturday morning, he said, Josh, I'll be at church tomorrow. I said, yeah, right. How many times have I heard that one? I'll be in church tomorrow. Those of you priests, you had that? I'll be in church on Sunday. You can count on me. I'll be there. So I said, all right, yeah, okay, we'll see. Well, sure enough, that next morning, he was there before me. He was waiting for me. He goes, I was waiting, wondering where you were. And he's been like that ever since. And he got saved about a month and a half later. And it's just been awesome. And it's just a more and marvelous thing to see the face of a person say, I got it. I got it. Let's not waste our time. Let's use every waking moment. You walk into an office, just try to be a testimony. Try to use the opportunity. People say, why are you so happy? Don't say, oh, because I just had a great day. God saved my soul. Has he saved yours? Man, use opportunities. Teach us to number our days. No, people forget that someday you will die. James 4 says, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. It's here and gone. Your life, 80 years. And some, not even that much. Gone. It's a shame. And you know why? And you know why we preach? For that exact reason. They're here, but tomorrow they could be gone. And you do not know when that person that you're witnessing to will go. And you want that person. Please, you know, I as a kid, I did not understand how it was so difficult for people to see the gospel. As a kid, I saw it. But these people don't see it, and you wish you could just make that decision for them. But that's impossible. It's individual. In Romans 13, where we were before, Romans 13, 11. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to wake out of sleep. Now is high time to wake out of sleep. It's high time to wake out of sleep. Sleep is wonderful. But you know what? Sleep is actually the definition is defined as a state of inactivity with a loss of consciousness and a decrease in responsiveness to events taking place. A state of inactivity. And my eyes are moving. With a loss of consciousness. You have no clue what's happening. You have no idea what's happening in the world. You care less. That's why we sleep. Lord, give me sleep. I don't want to think anymore. Have you been there? I want to just sleep. Let this day end right now. You want to just end it. Get that consciousness out of there. Decrease in responsiveness to events taking place. Do you know there are a lot of Christians who are spiritually asleep?
Yes, sir.
Unconscious to events taking place right this moment.
Amen.
Unconscious that people are dying and going to hell all over the world. In Mexico, in Poland, those are the two main countries we are working in. Man, there are people who have never held the Bible in their hands. Have you thought of that ever? My mother-in-law, who was in the hospital not too long ago, she witnessed to a lady next to her bed, and she gave her one of our New Testaments that I gave her. And the lady just held it, just looked at it, and just cherished it, and said, I've never held the Bible in my hand. I've never held a Bible in my hand. How many Bibles do we have in our homes? Are you a sleeping Christian? Are you a sleep Christian?
Yes. Amen.
Let's wake up.
Amen.
Let's see the needs of others. Oh, we love our comforts, but let's give a little bit of heaven to somebody else. A little bit of giving up, a little of our comfort, is nothing like letting a person go into heaven and have eternity with God. It's nothing better. Giving away a little our big 44-inch TVs, our fancy cars, you know, thousands of dollars into these, you know, put them into the engine and all these things I was listening to recently and thinking, oh, waste of money. Magda and I were like, put it into the missions, please. We'll use it. We got use for it over there. $9,000 for to work a, put a new engine in your car just to fix it up faster? Is that really what it matters? Faster cars, bigger cars, better cars, things that will just burn up, disappear. Knowing the time. Yeah, we live in very dark times right now. Very dark times. I was looking at something online and about homosexuals, that this whole thing was going on, and someone said, it was written, homosexuals have put out a Bible. Their own. They got their own Bible. The Queen James Version. I am not joking. It has already been sold. It's already out. People are already buying it. It's just out there already with a big, colorful rainbow cross in the very front. Think of the times we are living in. Knowing the times. That now it is high time to wake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. Soon our Lord Jesus will come back. That day will come. And let's not be caught still asleep. Let's not be caught still dreaming of what we might have done or what we might do in the future. Let's do it now. Let's wake up right now. We need Christians to step up and to wake up. It's high time to awake out of sleep. Amen?
Amen.